Planet Nine is probably just playing hard to get. Evidence of a big unseen world in the extreme outer solar system continues to mount. Take the recent discovery of the distant dwarf planet 2015 TG387, which is known as the Goblin. This world's highly elliptical orbit appears to have been sculpted by the gravity of a sizable planet way out there in the dark depths, as have the orbits of more than a dozen other faraway objects, according to researchers. Planet Nine really remains the only viable explanation for all the stuff that we observe, says Konstantin Batchigin, a theoretical astrophysicist at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. You can read more of that story in the In the News section up at Coast to Coast AM. I'm back in the air chair tonight, Saturday night into Sunday morning. I'll be joined by author-researcher Steve Ubaney. He's been digging into the death of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and believes that lies have been told to the public for decades. He'll share such questions as why Eleanor Roosevelt suddenly, 12 years after her after FDR's death, hired a private investigator to probe his doctor's treatment methods. And in the first hour, Thomas Rossetto will be here to discuss the mystery around Harry Houdini's death and afterlife experiment. That's Saturday night into Sunday morning on Coast to Coast. Say, if you like what you're hearing tonight this morning, you might wish to check out my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show. It airs live Sunday nights, 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern, and in delay on about 40 affiliates across North America, The Conspiracy Show. For more information and a list of affiliates, visit strangeplanet.ca or download the free Conspiracy Show app and listen anywhere in the world. Back with more open lines when Coast to Coast continues right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. Let's go to the wild card line. Monique is in Sunland, California. Good morning, Monique.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
I wanted to tell you about a new Frankenstein movie that just came out. But since you're talking about near-death experiences, I just wanted to pop in there that when my father was passing away, it was about a week until he crossed over. And I had asked him if he had seen my grandfather, who had passed a couple years prior. And my dad was a history teacher, and he was very detailed. He said, if I recall correctly, he said, yes, I saw him on a Tuesday at 2:35 p.m. So
that's pretty precise.
What's that?
That's pretty precise.
Absolutely. So I really feel that when someone's going into the different realm, that they can see their loved ones. But anyway, back to this theater, this film, it's called The Tales of Frankenstein, mm-hmm. And, you know, nice Halloween show, and the premiere is going to be in North Hollywood at Regency Valley Plaza 6 Theater on Wednesday, October 24th at 7 p.m., and I have a nice role in there, so I'm really excited about it, and I wanted to tell the Coast fans about it, and you're welcome to come, and George and all the other co-hosts.
And what role do you play?
I have a voiceover, a German. Her name is Irma, and I am the girlfriend of Frankenstein, whose brain is saved and transplanted.
Now, answer me this. Is it Frankenstein or Frankenstein?
Whichever you prefer, whatever corner of the world you're in.
Well, I prefer the Gene Wilder Frankenstein. All right. Now, is this more sort of faithful to the Mary Shelley book, this version?
Yes, it is actually her anniversary. The 200th anniversary of Frankenstein is this year. Are you aware of that?
I know she wrote it in 1818, so that you're right, it would make it 200 years. But I didn't know, is it coming up on the actual month, the actual day? Is the release of the movie coinciding with the actual month or day?
Well, the release came out actually on DVD-R on October the 16th. I'm not sure of the actual day. I just know that this year, 2018, is her 200th anniversary of writing that.
Pretty remarkable. That wasn't just a movie about a monster. There was so many layers to that book. And to think that Mary wrote that 200 years. You're right. That's wow. She was very talented. Well, thank you, Monique. Congratulations on your role in Frankenstein. Let's say hi to let's see. Curtis is in Prim, Nevada. Curtis, good morning. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yeah, I was going to talk to you about a near-death experience I had last year when I had kidney cancer that I got to speak to my grandfather. And he gave me a message to tell my mother that I had no idea about my whole life.
Really? Now,
yes.
You had kidney cancer.
Yes.
Did you at some point, were you dead for, clinically dead for a few moments, or what happened?
Well, I believe, yes, I was. I crossed over to the other side. I had surgery about 10 o'clock in the morning on September 11th last year, 2017, and they had complications with the Da Vinci robot machine that they were doing the surgery with, and they had to change some tools or whatnot, had to give me more medicine to keep me asleep longer. Well, come September 12th at 3 a.m. in the morning is when I finally woke up to my mother's voice calling my name. And it was the most beautiful, surreal, peaceful place I've ever been in my life. The most, like everybody says, the brightest light, white light, did not hurt my eyes whatsoever. And my grandfather was standing there, flannel shirt on, sleeves rolled up, jeans, and smoking a cigarette. Asked me, "What are you doing here?" And I'm looking around trying to figure out what's going on, and I don't know, Grandpa. I don't know what's going on. So then he tells me, "It's not your time to be here. Why are you here?" And I remember telling him again, I don't know. So he tells me, "You need to go back. Your time is not done on Earth. Your mom needs you. There's other people that need you. And please tell your mother that it was not her fault. I was not coming back." And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Just please tell your mother that it was not her fault. I was not coming back. And I love all of you." And I woke up to my mother calling my name. And just last month, my mom told me that she went to the chapel there in Cedars-Sinai, Beverly Hills, where I had the surgery at, and was praying and praying, and something came over her and told her that she had to get up there to the room immediately and force her way in there to talk to me, and told all the nurses that she needs to talk to me, that maybe I'll come back if I hear her voice. So argued with them for probably a good, 20, 30 minutes. They finally let her in to the room, and I woke up immediately to my mother's voice calling my name.
And did you deliver that message from your grandfather?
Yes, I did immediately. And that is like what the crazy thing is, that my doctor, nurses, anesthesiologist, my mom, my father, my girlfriend at the time were all there. And they said I just woke up like somebody snapped their fingers, eyes wide open. And I told my mom, "Mom, I just talked to Grandpa." I remember the look on her face. Like, "What? I just talked to Grandpa." She goes, "Well, you did. What did he say?" So I told her, immediately broke down in tears. Everybody in the room is looking around like, "Well, is Grandpa here?" My mom's like, "No, my dad's been gone for over 23 years. So then my doctor's jaw, nurses, everybody's jaw just dropped and about hit the floor. And I remember the look on everybody's face, waking up out of a dead sleep like that. And I completely remember it all. And since that day, my life has changed 110% for the better.
What did your grandfather mean, and what happened?
When he was sick in the hospital, he had like a triple or quadruple bypass heart surgery, and the doctors were telling my mom, her brother, and her sister that it's time, that he's probably not coming back, he's in a coma, that there's really nothing they could do, his heart is done, you guys need to consider pulling the plug. Well, my mother was the one that took care of everything in the family. So it was her decision whether to let him live on life support or let him go. Well, she made that decision and to let him go. And her brothers and sister had been mad at her her whole entire life over it, saying that he was coming back. Dad was not gone. But he told me, confirmed everything for her.
And you didn't know this about what had transpired with your mom and your late grandfather?
No, I had no idea. I'm 41 years old. I was probably 17, 18 then. And I don't know. I don't remember any of that. It was never told to me. I know my grandpa was in the hospital. I remember him being in the hospital. But I was never told anything about that.
Remarkable. Great story, Curtis.
Feeling. Yeah, yes. So super awesome. I wish I could do it all over again and ask you more questions.
I'll bet.
It was just an awesome, awesome experience. And
well, here's hoping you don't get the chance for a very long time. Curtis, thank you for the call.
Definitely. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Again on the wild card line, TJ is in Minnesota. Hello, TJ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm curious. A lot of callers on a lot of shows have been talking about, you know, all the drama and poor me. And I do have a near-death experience as well that we can go into, and that's created a lot of issues for myself. But I struggle to understand what happened to humanity. I mean, the war and everything, I mean, we're a human race, and it's going to be just the way it is. What is it going to take to fix that? And I have become a sensitive after a suicide attempt in 2000, and so I understand there's another side. So we can take the conversation in a number of directions, and I'm just curious on
here. Well, let's talk about your near death, TJ.
I made a mistake in 2000. I lost my family. I'm a war veteran, a disabled war veteran. And when that happened, I woke myself up from the outside. We'll just kind of be gentle that way. I woke myself up from the outside. And now I experience a lot of things that most people can't see or hear. And so it's become complicated, really complicated.
So you have developed, you believe, psychic abilities as a result of your near-death experience?
I wouldn't call them psychic. I believe I would rather lean towards being a sensitive.
Okay.
Yes.
And what sort of things are you sensitive to?
I can tell when somebody's around. I can hear their voices. I can see. I've got videos of them to prove that I'm not inaccurate. I have pictures of them to prove I'm not inaccurate. And recordings. I'm a big fan of Coast to Coast, and I've gotten a lot of the products that Coast to Coast has.
Terrific. Well, thank you for supporting our sponsors.
Well, absolutely. And I did it just to prove I wasn't crazy, because I thought I was going crazy.
I'll bet. Yes. So, yeah.
It's tough to deal with. There's TV shows, you know, that Long Island Medium and other TV shows. And so I started doing that, and it really isn't something I don't think most people want to do.
You're talking about communication with the dead.
Yeah, it's okay. Not something that you want to do on a regular basis. Once it starts,
well,
it doesn't stop.
Wouldn't be my cup of tea. No, so you can't turn it off.
I don't know how to turn it on or turn it off.
Right.
Either way.
And are these spirits trying... Do they want something from you? Do they want your help?
Communication with other people. And when that happens, it scares the heck out of comfortable.
Do you see full-on apparitions, or do you just feel their presence?
All of the above. And it scares the heck out of everybody else around me. And it's real. It's a real deal. I'm just not sure how to perfect that like everybody else does. It's a tough situation.
I'll bet. I can't imagine. So you're just walking around, let's say you're in the grocery store, and all of a sudden someone who has passed on will approach you in the freezer aisle and say, here I am. I want you to contact my wife or my daughter or what have you.
It's ironic. It's ironic you put it that way, because one of the five or six times that it's happened, it was in a grocery store with exactly that case. Yes, that is weird.
And when you see them, if you see a full-on apparition, I'm thinking of the sixth
total,
sense.
Total human form.
Right. And do you see them as they
form.
So do you see them like, you know, if they had a violent death, do you see them, you know, with their mortal wound and that sort of thing, or?
I have. And I know that they went through a struggle without question, yes. So I got to answer that question, yes.
Yeah, that would be pretty hard to take. TJ,
it all started after I tried to kill myself, and for radio, I don't want
right.
to admit that.
I appreciate that.
I said, yeah.
Are you getting the help that you need, TJ, to deal with whatever
through
it is?
VA, yeah. Through the VA, it's a struggle, but I am. I'm in counseling, and it's not a matter of me being crazy. It's a real deal. I've been able to pull up information that the people that it scares are just blown away, and they can reach around the corner and show me exactly what I'm talking about. And I've never been in the house, so I'm 100% accurate. I just don't know how to turn it on or off, either way.
What would you rather do, turn it off permanently or be able to control it?
I don't know. That's a really good question. It's so intriguing that I'd like to know more. But at the same time, I'd like to turn it off. It's a 50-50.
Well, TJ, I wish you all the best. Good luck. And I hope you'll continue to get the help that you need, not only for, what's going on in terms of your psychic ability or whatever you want to call it, but also the other issues that you're dealing with. And we thank you for your service, and we wish you Godspeed. Thank you, TJ. Let's see. I think... Well, we don't have time for another call. We'll get to some more calls when we come back. Bill in Williamsburg and Carlos in Hawaii and Mary in Snowflake, Arizona. We'll get to all of you. Here's Jeff Lynn and ELO and Wild West Hero taking us into the break on Coast to Coast AM. And it's great to be sitting in for George Norrie on a Friday night into Saturday morning. I wanted to tell you what George is going to be up to in 2019, in January, in fact, Jan 25th to the 26th, 2019. You can join George Norrie along with such presenters as Stanton Friedman, Rosemary Ellen Guiley, Nick Redfern, Grant Cameron, Tom Danheiser, Dr. Sky, and others at Big Bear Lake in California. Beautiful Big Bear Lake for Alien Snowfest 2. Again, Jan 25 to the 26th. And further details are to be announced, but just keep checking coasttocoastam.com. Go up to the top and click on the events tab and then George Norrie's events in the pull-down menu, George Norrie's events. Just keep checking. More details forthcoming on Alien Snowfest 2, Big Bear Lake, California, Jan 25, 26. Back to more of your calls as open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. All right, let's go back to the phones. And I can't believe where this night has gone. All right, let me see here. My call screener is down momentarily. Let's get back to Bill in Williamsburg, Virginia. Bill, good morning.
Hey, Richard. Hey, my phone just showed that it may have a charge problem, and I don't have my charger, so if I get powered off, I apologize so much. I was calling because of Tim Tebow about 6 years ago in the football game. He played the Steelers. It's on the YouTube. You can type in Tebow and Halo. You'll see a giant halo floating over the football stadium that day, a giant circle in the sky, people standing in the stands, not Photoshop, but standing in the stands commenting, oh, a halo for Tebow, a halo for Denver. It's the same game that all the 3:16 showed up from John 3:16 in the Bible. Tebow had Tebow had painted John 3:16 on his eye patches 3 years before that game when in college when he won the BCS championship game against Oklahoma. So 3 years to the day, he played the Steelers. He had the halo, showed up. He had John 3:16 in passing, 3:16 yards, 31.6 average per catch. Even CBS carried the game. The rating for the game was 31.6%, was the highest rating the game got for the game.
So I remember that.
Steelers' time of possession, 31 minutes and 6 seconds. The only interception was third down and 16, and Roethlisberger threw the interception, not Tebow. They had a white horse at the top of the stadium on the one end. They brought from Mile High, that's the Bronco. Jesus, when you see it, it's the highest thing in the stadium. You see the sky and the clouds above it with a white horse. Well, Jesus returns on a white horse with clouds, so it has a symbol of revelation of Jesus' return on a white horse from Revelation. The opening kickoff's a miracle opening kickoff because it couldn't happen, but I won't tell you that because it'll take too long. But anyway, go ahead and talk. I want to get those facts out to you before my phone cut off.
It's remarkable, and I remember some of that, not all of the details. Now, is he not in the New York Mets farm system now? Didn't he left football, and he's in baseball now, isn't he?
Yeah, you know what's really interesting in baseball, too? This is really fascinating, but, I mean, the other is kind of like a – see, when you see the halo, you know that's a symbol that Jesus is coming back. You know, that, there's no doubt that all those coincidences were not coincidences. That there are too many. Even the opening kickoff hit the crossbar in the back of the end zone, which is located 10 yards deep in the end zone, ricocheted back 30 yards back toward the kicker and put itself on the 20 to start the game where you put it for a touchback. There's no way that could happen and ever happen in any game anywhere near even close to that. But it happened at the beginning of that game. Nobody knew it was going to be a blessed game until, oh, and the guy who caught the winning touchdown, one play in overtime, Demaryius Thomas caught the 80-yard pass in overtime. Just one play, it was over in the overtime. He's born on Christmas, 12/25/1987. He ended the game, gave Tebow to 316-yard
pass.
There
you go.
Tebow's in the baseball.
Yes, he is. And he sort of continuing on in that realm. He was on the pitcher's mound, I believe, one game, and he saw someone struggling in the stands. I'm not sure whether they were having
autographs. He was getting ready to sign autographs.
That's right.
And he had an epilepsy seizure or something.
I thought he maybe resuscitated this individual, but he...
Well, he bent over and prayed for him, and the guy all of a sudden came back. He got his breath, and he was choking. He couldn't get his breath. He was looked like he was going to pass out and maybe die. I don't know. But he bent over and touched the guy's leg and then did a prayer. And people were standing around, a couple ladies standing around. One of them thought that she had witnessed on a tweet or something, or one of those texts that she thought she had maybe witnessed a miracle because the guy was, had two paramedics or something there, and they couldn't get
right.
The guy to be able to breathe.
He's an incredible individual. An incredible
one
individual.
One last thing I'll tell you. One last thing is really interesting. He when he played for the Mets, he played for the Mets minor league team. When he played the River Dogs, who were the New York Yankee team back last year around the end of June, he played that team, and they mocked him every play. He'd go up to bat, they'd play Hallelujah chorus music. They'd show him on the scoreboard crying when he cried when he lost to Alabama in the playoff game, I guess. And they showed a river dog, the stupid little river dog with the black patches and guy jumping over him, mocking John 3:16, the Bible. So what happened later in that year? Tebow lost by 2 or 3 of those games, I believe. But later in the year when the big team was winning, they were winning 3-2 or whatever, all of a sudden they lost the third game and the fourth game, and the Astros went in instead of them. And so God remembers, And that was more important than that little team with Tebow and the minor league team with the River Dogs. That was the major league team didn't get in, and they didn't get in this year either. So maybe there's a little thing going on there with God, and say, hey, you mocked that John 3:16, And
that's right.
I don't speak for God, I'm just saying that,
That's right. The cosmic courts are now in session. Bill, great story. Thank you. Thank you for that. Let's say hi to John in Baltimore, east of the Rockies. John, good morning.
Richard, been on hold for a while. Glad to be on the phone with you.
Thank you for your patience.
That's okay. I was listening to your previous caller. It's like, Tim Tebow's a good guy. I was kind of hoping we'd get him for the Ravens. We could have used a backup quarterback a couple years ago. And but we're the same team that lets go of Anquan Boldin when he's the only person catching the ball and has the best feet. So what can we do? yeah, it's open lines. I thought I'd change it up a little bit. And I was looking at the websites with the time I've had here, and there's a thing called the 100-Year Starship Program. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
So it's a NASA and DARPA-founded thing where they're trying to get private industry to develop the technology to get us doing interstellar travel in the next 100 years, starting back around 2010, 2012. And all I hear about lately is Elon Musk and maybe Bob Bigelow. It's like, why is it space travel just keeps stagnating, but we see these amazing things in the sky that don't that aren't supposed to be there, you know? Because they're not flying. If they were flying, they'd be using lift. They're sitting there hovering.
Right, right. And yes, and why? Exactly, exactly. And so why aren't we seeing any of that technology?
Some sort, you know?
Right. Right. Well, that's the $64 million question. You know, who is in possession of that technology? Is it a breakaway civilization? You know, and why isn't any of that sort of trickling down to us plebes?
Yeah, we've got all this manpower. It'd be nice to put our people to use. You know, I'd rather go in the direction of catching up on technology with aviation, because if you look at all of our other technology, amazing strides have been made. I'm an IT guy myself, and when I was a child, a TI-99 or a Commodore 64 was the computer. Now my cell phone runs circles around any of that.
Right. Yet we're still burning rocket fuel.
Right. You know, yeah. There's that, and Tesla was talking about how he was going to show people how to make, you know, wingless aircraft that would be powered wirelessly. And the man generally didn't make claims he wasn't about to back up.
No, it's true. We see advances, technological advances in so many areas, but not so much in aviation.
Other things on the show. I'd rather go in the direction of putting 6 billion people to work. I mean, just look at China and India. You got 1.5, 1.8 billion each sitting there, you know. There's a lot of people. I'd rather go in that direction than the Georgia Guidestones. That's a bad direction.
That is a bad direction.
It's like 6 to 8 billion, 500 million. That's a lot of cutting down. There's a lot of bad things that happen if you go in that direction, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all bad. It's all bad.
Well, I was wondering if, you know, I don't know who you can get, maybe Bigelow. I know he's been busy with his paranormal investigations, but, I mean, his company also was trying to build space hotels. Yeah, it'd be interesting to maybe do a show on this 100-year Starship program or maybe things in that direction.
I marked it down.
Yeah, I was hoping by now we'd start seeing it maybe be a dumping ground. We're talking about, oh, disclosure's coming. Well, you could easily say, oh, look at this discovery we've made in the 100-year Starship program.
We'll cobble a show together for you, John. We'll do that. Thank you for the recommendation. Appreciate it. Let's say hi to Mary in Snowflake, Arizona. Mary, good morning.
Morning. Thank you for your guest, Richard, and thank you. Okay, this is, I think, an important thing, and I, too, am a very strong Christian. I've prayed about it many times. God has never shown me I'm wrong. I believe his story, or history, is his story. When he comes back, all bets are off, okay? I also believe Edgar Cayce or whatever. I believe reincarnation is real because in the Bible, and I think it's Galatians, when it says, you know, it is appointed unto us to live once and then die. That if you think outside the box, that Jesus did not scold. I mean, as a loving parent and father, you know, you give your children many, many chances. God, of course, would do even more so than we can do. Jesus did not scold his apostles when they asked him, when they were out on, whatever, journeying. They asked if this is Elijah or somebody coming back to life. He did not scold them as he did to the psychic who said, Satan, get thee behind me, when she correctly identified him as the Son of God. He did not scold his apostles when they asked, is this Elijah or somebody coming back to life? He had the perfect opportunity right then to close the book on reincarnation or the possibility right then by saying, get thee behind me, Satan, that's a lie from the pit of hell. But he did not. He did not. So, as nature reflects it in hibernation, I believe he gives many chances. But as Edgar Cayce said, I think we're all a book, and every life is a chapter. And when Christ comes back, that book is closed. And then the judgment will still come. That we get one chance to live, but we live many lives. And the way we think of death, as he said, is not the way the Father thinks of things. He sees it very differently. And that, of course, a loving parent will give any child many, many chances. And it makes total sense of suffering and why he doesn't interfere in everybody's suffering. And as Edgar Cayce said, there's an Akashic Records and all that stuff, that it just makes so much sense of all of it. It fits pieces together. It joins, Buddhism and things like that. And his love is so, pure that he's not going to interfere because it's part of the plan for us to suffer, to learn, to teach others. And it doesn't interfere with, that we have one chance to live.
Right. I struggle with that, Mary. As I mentioned earlier, I don't believe in reincarnation. I'm open, for if there's a good argument to be made. And that kind of gives me an idea that maybe that would be a good program, is to have a theologian come on and someone who believes that reincarnation is part of the Christian faith and it has been suppressed. That would be a great show, I think. We'll see if we can cobble that together. Mary, thank you so much. It's a fascinating subject. Scotty's in Minneapolis. Scotty, welcome.
God bless you. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Great. Well, I always know, like, the three rules, right? Tell them what you're going to say it, and then tell them what you said, right? And I think reincarnation is a great topic, right? I think I want to thank Coast to Coast. And I'm going to say it, right? 23 days of sobriety, 23 days, right? And then when I go back to 928, that show, 928 about the Grateful Dead,
right? Right.
I spent many of my lives with the Grateful Dead. Guide me through that. But,
this is your 23rd day of sobriety?
My 23rd day of sobriety, and I've seen 37 shows, and many, like, I'm 54 years old, I've seen years and years and years of chaos. So I think my friend, the last point is tell them what you said. Reincarnation, I think it exists in your own mind. So you can reincarnate yourself even in this one world. That show on September 28th with I think Joel Selvin did it or whatever. That was crazy. I thought that was the greatest days of my life, all that partying and doing all that fun stuff. But I'll tell you what, at the end, 23 days, it's that's good. So
well, keep it going, Scotty. Keep it going, brother. I wish you all the best with that. That's a tough struggle, but just fight it. All right, Bobby's in Northeast Ohio. Bobby on the first-time caller list. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
I'm in Ohio, not in Iowa, so here we go. Good morning to you, Richard.
Good morning.
Many, many years ago, I want to say like early 2000s, I have a lot of things happen to me, but this was a thing that I'll never forget the rest of my life. I had had a smaller car, and when I bought it new, and my husband was like, I did it myself, went out, bought it, I didn't bring him with me, I was just, this is what I want. Well, it really wasn't feasible for what we needed it for. So he's complaining, you know, we really needed a van, blah, blah, blah. So once again, I went out myself and did it, but I bought something used. I never buy a used car, vehicle, anything. Big mistake. But the only mistake the only thing I did do right was purchase a extended warranty thing. So that kind of worked out for me. And I was having trouble with it. And I says, oh, my God, you know, what did I do here? But I kept bringing it back, and the guy kept fixing it. And it was out in the country. It was a little mom-and-pop shop that I had to bring it to. I guess they were on that warranty thing. So it was just too much. I was just like, I was boggled with this, and I kept saying,
I got about a minute and a half, Bobby. I got about a minute and a half, and I want you to get to tell your story.
Well, I got to this one intersection, and I says, only way I'm going to get rid of this thing is if I crash it. I'm going to smash it. I'm going to go up against a wall. I'm going to smash it. I've never had these thoughts. Well, as I pulled out, I turned to the left. There's a huge semi-truck coming. I didn't pull out enough. I knew. I closed my eyes. I put my hand down over the steering wheel, and the truck went right through the back of me. I could feel the air. I could feel the wind, and I just froze.
Dear Lord.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I'm trying to stay calm while I'm telling you this. And
what could have possessed you? Maybe that's the operative word, possessed. But what could have possessed you to do that?
I've never in my life, I have children. I have never in my life had that. But I'm going to tell you what, that truck went through me, went out the other end. I turned to the right, there it went. My van was never hit. I pulled over. I pulled out. I was out. I was already out. I pulled out further. I went on the side of the road, and I broke down. And I said, God, where did this thought come from? Never, never, never in my life, never. And, I'm an animal lover. I love children. I love old people. I mean, I'm a loving person, you know?
Well, he was watching out for you that day, Bobby. Well, thank you so much. Wow. That would leave anyone shaken in their boots. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you all. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galanti, Chris Burrows, Gina Selvati, Sean Latasur, and here in Toronto, Mike Ben Dixon, Robert Turner, and Alex Glutch. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. I'm back tonight. Until then, so long for now.